we're going to take some time to look at Psalm 92 here this morning as we continue on summer in the Psalms. This is a great way to experience the Psalms in the great outdoors with the sun shining here today. What a blessing it's been here. So Psalm 92, open your Bibles or your smartphones or whatever you might have, and look with me here as we go through this. And we read right off here in verse 1. It says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." Awesome. Starts off saying, listen guys, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. Isn't that great? Isn't it a good thing to give thanks to the Lord? Now understand here, giving thanks to the Lord, being people that praise Him and worship Him. I mean, that's essentially what we were created to do, right? Amen. That's what we've been made to do, is to bring glory and praise to the Lord. There are many people today going through this world trying to figure out, what am I here for? What am I to do? What's the point of my life? The point of your life, essentially, is to praise the Lord and to bring glory to Him. And it is a good thing when we begin to follow in line with what God has for us to do, right? Now, understand this too. This is a great thing. Because giving praise to God is more than just kind of some robotic, you know, thing that we just do. Like God says, well, you're created to do this, so just do it. And now we're just kind of in this place of submission robotically giving praise to God. It's more than that, you see. God desires us to do that so that we can enjoy fellowship and relationship with Him. Isn't that great? As we are praising God, we are being brought in to the very presence of the Lord, to where we can enjoy His goodness and His grace and His blessing, and just to enjoy this incredible fellowship with the very God who has made everything around us here. Think about that. Think about the invitation, the open door that we have to do such a thing. And it's what we've been made to do. It's a good thing to give thanks and to praise the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. And to do so, it says, both in the morning and in the evening time. Now, the psalmist here begins to lay out some reasons why we should be giving thanks to the Lord, why we should be praising Him. Because first of all, in the morning, His loving kindness is there for us, right? To declare your loving kindness in the morning. Now, there's a lot of people that don't do mornings too well, right? We've witnessed that around camp here. There's some people that struggle in the morning. There was one woman that was asked, do you ever wake up grumpy? She says, no, I always let him sleep till 10 a.m. All right. I always let him sleep. That was my wife that said that. But so sometimes it's hard for us to wake up and have that kind of praising attitude, right? Anybody with me on that? It's hard sometimes to wake up. You just want to get into the kitchen, grab your coffee. You just want to splash some water on your face before anything. But to wake up praising the Lord is sometimes a difficult thing to do. But when you wake up and realize, God, you love me today. Your loving kindness is there. And not just that He loves us. Think about this. Because, you know, we're told as Christians that we need to love one another, right? And so we look at that and go, yeah, all right, that's just my duty. I love you. And we can say I love you, but showing kindness can be a separate thing in our minds sometimes, right? Oh, I love you. I have to. I mean, so yeah, I love you. Yeah, I love you. You know, I love you. I have to. But now to be kind, sometimes that's an extra effort, right? But with God, they just blend together. Loving kindness. He's not only loving towards us as He's displayed so much all around us, but He's kind to us. He shows grace to us. He cares for us. There's loving kindness in the morning that we can wake up just praising God for. And His faithfulness is there in the evening. Listen, it doesn't matter what kind of a day you have, right? You can have the most rotten day. We had a crazy day here yesterday. Do you mind if I share that story? Casper's Roya. Boy, we had a fun day yesterday because we were playing manhunt, right? And so we had a couple people that everybody just went out and hid, you know, in the forest. And that forest goes out pretty far, right? So we went out and hid, and a couple people had to try to track us down. Well, one dear girl was determined not to get caught. And when people came running, she went running. And she ran and ran and ran to where she got lost. And we couldn't find her. So manhunt took on a whole new name, where we were literally on a manhunt out in the forest, digging through this foliage and shrubs and everything like that, trying to find our dear girl. And, well, you know, couldn't find her. We ended up, some neighbors saying they saw her way out there, saw her, but thought she was okay. And so the neighbors end up driving the parent around and couldn't find her, brings them back to camp here, and not here. They just begin to pray, Lord, you need to help us here. We can't find our daughter here. And it was very scary. And they prayed, and as soon as they finished praying, in comes a cop car with her in tow, you know. And so praise the Lord for that. But you see, we can go through tough times and tough days where we go to bed at night and go, Lord, what were you doing? What were you thinking there? Lord, this is crazy. But understand that every time that we put our head down on the pillow, we realize, God, you've been good to me because I'm here. Amen. I'm here. And I'm laying down at night now to go to rest. Praise the Lord for that. You are faithful, God. There are times where, man, things can get hairy, things can get scary, things can be difficult, but Lord, in the end, you're faithful. Because me lying down at night here is a testament of that, right? God, you're faithful. So, we have reason both morning and night to give thanks and praise to God. He's worthy of it. It says there in verse 1 that He is, O Most High, right? So there's none like Him, and He is worthy and deserving of our praise. And understand this here, guys. Like I said, this praise is not to be something that's just kind of solemn and dreary, right? Where it's like, well, we're going to church today. Kids, put on your church face. Everybody, be serious now. We're going to church. We're going to worship the Lord. Stop smiling, you know? And we can kind of sometimes feel like we got to put on this church face. We got to be serious. We got to be reverent. We got to be like, man, don't mess up here, right? Don't say anything, kids. Understand here, worship is something to be enjoyed. It's to be enthusiastic. It's to be energetic. It's to be full of joy because we are worshiping a loving, kind, faithful, gracious God who loves to bless His people. Hallelujah. And so understand here, verse 3, read with me here. What do we read there? On an instrument of 10 strings, on the lute and on the harp with harmonious sound. Hey, we're to make a sweet sound to the Lord. We're to make a harmonious sound. We're to rock out for Jesus, okay? That's what that means there. On a 10-stringed instrument, we have a couple 6-stringed instruments here. So we can put them together, 12. We're getting close to a 10-string instrument. But now we're just to praise the Lord. And it's to be something that can be energetic, full of life, full of joy, right? Worship and praise of God, understand this, guys, is to be something that we're to be doing, not just morning and night, but everywhere in between. And it's to be full of joy and life and praise because that's who our God is. He's the life giver. He's the joy giver. He's the God of love and grace and mercy. And so we're to praise Him in that way. I'm glad for that. Don't you love rocking it out for Jesus? Oh, yeah. Right? Hallelujah. Okay? And don't get too crazy. And don't start doing, you know, backflips in church or some of that, right? And start jumping off the speakers. That, you know, let's not get carried away here, but rock out for Jesus nonetheless. For you, Lord, verse 4, have made me glad through your work. I will triumph in the work of your hands, right? And here it is, like I'm saying, it's to be someone's joy. And it says here, the psalmist says, for you, Lord, have made me glad. You've made me glad through your work. Oh, yeah. And like I said, boy, you look around here, right? And you just see this incredible splendor of the Lord, His handiwork all around us. And one another, you look at one another, how everybody is so unique. And He's made everybody so special, right? His handiwork, His work is all around us to where we can look and go, wow, God, you made me glad. This is incredible, man. I couldn't even dream up something like this, Lord. And yet your handiwork is displayed all around us. And Lord, you make me glad in this. Oh, praise God for this. But notice what it says there at the end of verse 4. I will triumph in the work of your hands. You see, the greatest work of the Lord's hand came when He stretched out His hands, right? And He laid Himself upon the cross for you and for me. And He took the nails in His hands to redeem us from sin, right? He came and He took that death blow for us that we could be saved, that we could be forgiven of sin. Are you guys glad that you're forgiven of sin today? Amen. You guys glad? How are you forgiven of sin today? Front row, how are you forgiven of sin today?
Jesus.
Through Jesus, who died for us, right? And that was the work of His hands, right? That was the work that He did. Understand, if you're here today thinking, man, I'm going to heaven or I'm saved because I'm a good person. Well, you're putting your trust in the work of your hands, right? I want to be glad and triumph in the work of His hands and in the way that He came and laid His life down for me and He did for you. And He did the work. The work was complete. He said on the cross, it is finished. It's done. The work is complete so that we could now put our trust in Jesus and have everlasting life, that we could be forgiven of sin, be brought into a right relationship in God through Christ, be clothed in His righteousness now. How about that? That's an incredible work. To where now we can lay off the old man, lay it down, and be clothed in His righteousness. That's an incredible work. That's a work He can't do. That's a work I can't do. But I want to triumph in that work. And that's the way that we triumph, is by placing our lives in Him, in Christ, and in the work He did. Praise the Lord for that. That's reason to glorify Him and give thanks to Him, right? That's reason to praise Him morning and night and every minute in between. Now, He just goes on to say here in verse 5, "Oh Lord, how great are Your works. Your thoughts are very deep. How great are Your works." Just meditate on that sometimes. Just meditate on how great are His works. I mean, we could begin to sound out things that God has done in our lives personally, right? Where we could just spend all afternoon saying, "Hey, God's done this in my life. God's done that." And it would cause us to do what? Just say, "How great are Your works, Lord? I'm speechless. How great are Your works?" And notice what it says at the end of verse 5, "Your thoughts are very deep." Your thoughts are very deep. You see, the Lord is always at work in ways that we don't always know sometimes. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways, right? And God is doing work in people's lives and all around us in ways that we don't always know, right? Sometimes we can sit here and go, "Well, Lord, I mean, I want to come and praise You, but what have You done? What have You done today?" And we can fail to realize how much God's been at work in our lives. If we only knew how many times He's redirected our lives, or He's just kept a car just inches from hitting us on the road, or something from falling on us. If we only knew how much God was really at work, right? But His thoughts are very deep. We will never know exactly how awesome and how great God is, or the things that He does. And notice what it says in Psalm. Let me just turn over there. Psalm 137. Oh, this is good too. I love this. Psalm 137 and verse 17. Or is it? No, sorry, 139, verse 17. Notice what it says there. "How precious also are Your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I wake, I'm still with You." I'm still with You, Lord. How precious are Your thoughts to who? To me, He says. Do you understand that not only are His thoughts deep in the sense that God is at work in ways that we don't always know, but His thoughts are toward you too. And they're beyond what we would ever know. That when we wake, Lord, we're with You. How about that? His thoughts go towards you. How precious, how awesome is that? And notice here in verse 6, you know, it says there, "A senseless man does not know, nor does a fool understand this." You ever try to share that with somebody who's just not there, you know, who just hasn't really given their heart, their life to the Lord? Now, it says in, you don't have to turn there, but let me read it to you. It says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and in verse 14, "But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned." The natural man, the man who's not really born again, given his life to the Lord, he doesn't know these things. You can tell him all you want about the goodness and the grace of God, but oftentimes he's just not discerning. He's not getting it, right? And so the psalmist says, "A senseless man does not know. A fool, nor does a fool understand this." We need to pray for people to have their eyes opened by the Holy Spirit, their heart to be opened by the Holy Spirit, to receive the things that we want to share with them about the Lord, right? Don't hold back from sharing. You go ahead and share it, because you never know when the Lord is going to open their eyes and their heart to receive it. You keep sharing. But don't be worried if they walk away going, forget, that doesn't make sense to me. What about this? What about that? Right? And there are a lot of questions that people can have, no doubt. One of the questions that people often have is, well, if there's really loving God, why do bad things happen in the world? And we can think, and people can just simply conclude that bad things happen, so there must not be a God. Not a strong God, at least. But notice what we read here in verse 7. When the wicked spring up like grass, and when all the workers of iniquity flourish, it is that they may be destroyed forever. Huh. Interesting. Wow. You know, just like the grass that sprouts up, right? And when you have grass in your yard, oftentimes it'll grow, and it can grow pretty quickly. Well, you kind of mow it, right? You just go over it, and it's boom, it's gone, right? Or you can trample over it, and it's just going to start to wear, and we see patches around here. Well, it's like the wicked, oftentimes. They grow up, and they can grow up very quickly. And we can think, how can this be? If there's a God, how is this happening? Why is wickedness, it seems, to be prevailing? And we read through the Psalms, oftentimes the psalmist writing, why do the wicked prevail? Why do they keep going on? And yet the Lord says, I got my hand on it. Don't worry. The fact that they're growing up and it seems like they're having their way doesn't negate the fact that I'm at work here. You see, God is also very long-suffering, not wishing anyone to perish. He's giving people an opportunity to repent and turn to Him. But there will come a day, there will come a time when the wicked will be dealt with. And it says sadly, they'll be destroyed forever. They're going to fade away. They're going to be done because they're going to meet that judgment of God. And so it says in verse 8, but you, Lord, are on high forevermore. For behold your enemies, O Lord, for behold your enemies shall perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be scattered. The psalmist just realized, Lord, I got to remind myself that you're on high. In fact, there's nothing above you. There's nothing greater than you. And so because you're on high, Lord, you're in control of all things. And you know when the wicked seem to be getting away with things? But Lord, you know. And your hand's on that. And you're going to deal with that in your right and perfect time. The psalmist reminds himself, Lord, you're on high. I don't need to fear or fret. I don't need to question or doubt. Because God, you got it all under control here. Amen to that? Aren't you glad that God's got it all under control? So understand that the wicked are going to be scattered. But in contrast to the wicked now, the psalmist speaks about the righteous, the faithful. See, we have one of two options in our lives, right? To either say, Lord, okay, people told me that you're out there, that there's a God, but you know what? I'm not really interested. I want to do my own thing. I'm going to go my own way. Or we can decide to say, God, I see that you're good. None of this has come about by random chance, Lord. There's a God, and you've made me, and I want to live my life for you. I want to follow you. I want to be faithful to you. And so in contrast to the wicked, now we see what happens to the righteous and to the faithful. Look at verse 10. But my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. I've been anointed with fresh oil. My eye also has seen my desire on my enemies. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. He says here, Lord, my horn you have exalted like a wild ox. Now some of you are reading that going, huh? What is that about? I don't want a horn, man. I don't want nothing like that. Well, a horn was a symbol of strength, right? To have a horn, it was like, man, this guy's going to be an overcomer. This animal is going to overcome whatever enemies might come his way, whatever obstacles might be built up around him. He's going to power through. There's strength in the horn, just like a wild ox. And so what the psalmist is saying, Lord, you're going to strengthen me. I'm weak in myself, but in you, as I follow you, God, I'm made strong. I'm made strong so that I can be an overcomer. Romans 8 tells us that we are more than conquerors through Christ, who strengthens us, who loves us. We're more than conquerors in Him. And so He's the one that strengthens us, just like a wild ox with a horn here who's going to persevere and press on. And I've been anointed with fresh oil. Now, oil in the Middle East was something that was very soothing, a very calming kind of a thing. And for us, it's like the Lord anoints us and calms us and soothes us here. He strengthens us, but He also puts us at ease. Now, oftentimes, you know, oil was used as a picture also of the Holy Spirit, you see. And I'm a person that needs a fresh filling of the Holy Spirit daily in my life. You know, what did Jesus say in John chapter 4? That God is looking for those that worship Him in spirit and in truth. And I understand that I'm not going to be a worshiper of God unless I am filled with the Holy Spirit, unless I'm abiding in the Spirit, flowing in the Spirit, because there's going to be too much of myself in there. And myself is going to get in the way of me bringing glory and honor to God. So I want a daily fresh filling with the Holy Spirit. Oil was also used symbolically in Scripture as a picture of joy. Don't you love that? And you see, again, I think the parallel is so good that as we are worshiping the Lord, being strengthened, being renewed in the Lord, boy, we're going to be full of joy. We looked last week at how, you know, our bodies are decaying, you know. These bodies are going to be laid down. These physical bodies are going the way of dust. But the inner man is being renewed day by day, right? In the likeness of the Lord. And so too, as we are being anointed with fresh oil, we're being renewed and replenished in the Holy Spirit that we can continue on as worshipers of the Lord, walking in the joy of the Lord. And he says, and along with that, my eye has seen what's going to come of the wicked there in verse 11. My ears hear my desire on the wicked who rise up against me. Oh, they're coming around me. There's obstacles all around. There's wicked all around. But God, you've allowed me to see what you're going to do here. Again, that you're going to put them aside. That you're going to allow me to continue on and be an overcomer in you. The righteous, notice this here, verse 12. Again, kind of a contrast between what's going to happen to the wicked and the righteous now. The righteous shall flourish like a palm tree, right? And he shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Oh, I love that. Don't you love palm trees? I love palm trees. Anybody love palm trees here? Oh, I love them. I'm trying to grow one in my front yard. It's not really working too well, but it's there. I love it. And somebody dropped that off one day, I think from the church. Thank you, whoever did that, if you're here. That was a real blessing. And palm trees are great. And you think about, you know, palm trees growing up in tropical places, warm places. Think about some of these places that have these tropical storms blowing through. And just like, you know, typhoons and hurricanes. And you see these palm trees just blowing around and yet maintaining, right? They stay, they're there. And palm trees continue to grow fruit well on into, you know, old age and such. They continue to bear fruit. And so the righteous are going to flourish like a palm tree. They're going to be stable. They're going to be strong and shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon. Again, the cedars of Lebanon were known for their strength, you know, for their might, the mighty cedars of Lebanon. So we talk about here those that are going to grow in the Lord now. Being worshipers of the Lord, following the Lord, you're going to grow like a cedar Lebanon. And notice this here, not just for young people growing, but those who are planted in the house of the Lord in verse 13 shall flourish in the courts of our God, and they shall still bear fruit in old age. Don't you love that? Man, what's the key here, guys? What's the key to bearing fruit? I think it's there in verse 13. Those who are planted in the house of the Lord. Now, for the psalmist, as he's writing this here, it's talking about those who are coming into the tabernacle and into the temple. And even just being in the outer courts, just being there at the altar and seeing the worship of God being done. Planted in the house of the Lord. For us today, we don't rely upon a physical location. We don't have to rely upon a church to meet that need, because God sent His Son to dwell among men, right? To tabernacle among us. And God's presence is abiding with us today so that we can be planted in the Lord in whatever we're doing and wherever we are. That's about abiding in Him, right? And those that are abiding in the Lord, being planted in the Lord, notice this here, you're going to flourish in the courts of our God. They'll still bear fruit in old age. All the old people here today said, amen. Amen. But understand here, guys, there's not too many things that get better with age, right? Some of your bodies are sitting here saying amen to that. Things don't always get better with age. But in the Lord, His plan, His desire is for you to get better with age. And for you to continue to bring glory and praise to Him well into old age. That's something you can do. Again, through that fresh oil, that fresh filling of the Holy Spirit, through being planted in the house of the Lord, abiding in the Lord, you can continue to bear fruit in old age. So that you can be, I love this here, first end of verse 14, that they shall be fresh and flourishing. Don't you love that? How many people want to be fresh and flourishing today? Man, I want to be, I'm oftentimes flat and floundering. That's usually the way I am, right? I'm like, Lord, what is going on here? Help me here. is tough sometimes. But again, as we look to the Lord, as we're filled with His Holy Spirit, as we're planted and abiding in Him, we can be fresh and flourishing and continuing on, striving in those things, doing better with every day and with every year. Not doing better in the sense of work and trying to do better, but just living for the Lord, glorifying Him, enjoying relationship with Him. What a blessing comes from that. To declare simply that the Lord is upright in verse 15. For He is my rock, and there is no unrighteousness in Him. See, guys, we can continue on trusting the Lord and having reason to praise the Lord because He is righteous. There's no unrighteousness in Him. In other words, He doesn't do anything wrong or bad. He is just and He is right. Everything He does is good. And again, you might look at things and go, how can this be good? But yet, you have to look to the Lord and realize He's just. He's perfect. He's good. Everything He does is right. And so we need to keep looking to Him, worshiping Him, praising Him, giving thanks to Him, because He's our rock, and in Him is no unrighteousness. Praise the Lord for that. It is good to give thanks and to praise the Most High. Amen. I pray that we're doing that, and that it's not just here when we're together, but it's through the week. It's while we're driving in our car, while it's while we're at work, it's while we're at home, whatever we're doing, be giving thanks, praising the Lord. Be fresh and flourishing today. All right? Awesome. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You, God, for this time together, this beautiful day You've blessed us with, and this time just to sit in the outdoors here and enjoy fellowship with one another and with You, Lord. And we thank You for Your Word that we can look through and just be encouraged. And I pray that Your Word would speak to everyone here today. God, that it would encourage us, that it would charge us up and excite us, Lord, to be those, to worship and praise You, because that's an exciting thing, Lord, to do. God, You're good. And we love You. May we continue to walk by faith and trust in You, Lord, and know that, God, You do all things well. And so, Lord, we ask it to You, just bless this day and all that happens, Lord, that this would be a great time of just being built up in You with one another, God, and just enjoying family here together today. Be present with us. Keep us safe here. And we just give all this to You now, Jesus, in Your awesome and holy name. Amen.